Nandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Adati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagurjatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Zvitam Sha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Adhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Bhanu Siddhadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Chapter 15 The Pandavas Retire Timely Text 45 Sarve Tam Anu Nirmasas Sarve Tam Anu Nirga Jagmu Pratara Prita Nischaya Kalina Adharma Mitrena Drishtva Drishta Praja Uvi Sarve Tamanu Nirajagmur
Sarve Tamanu Nirajagmur
Pratara Kim Krita Nischaya Kalina Dharma Mitrena Rishva Sprishta Prajabhuvi Sarve Tam Anu Nirgamur Bratara Krita Nischaya Kalina Dharma Mitrena Vishvas Prishta Prajabhuvi Sarve
All
his younger brothers Tam him Anu Nirjagmu Left home by following the elder Ratara brothers Krita Nischaya decidedly Kalina by the age of Kali Adharma principle of irreligion Mitrena by the friend Drishva observing Drishta having overtaken Praja, all the citizens, Bhuvi, on the earth. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Younger brothers of Maharaj Yudhisthira observed that the age of Kali had already arrived throughout the world, and that the citizens of the kingdom were already affected by irreligious practice. Therefore, they decide to follow in the footsteps of their elder brother. So please repeat. The younger brothers of
Mara Judhisthira
observe that the age of Kali had already arrived
throughout the world,
and that the citizens of the kingdom were already affected by irreligious practice. Therefore, they decide to follow in the footsteps of their elder brother. Shukla Prabhupada's purport. The younger brothers of Mara Judhisthira were already obedient followers of the great emperor, and they had sufficiently been trained to know the ultimate goal of life. They therefore decidedly follow their elder brother in rendering devotional service to Lord Shri Krishna. According to the principles of Sanatana Dharma, one must retire from family life after the half duration of life is finished and must engage himself in self-realization. But the question of engaging oneself is not always decided. Sometimes retired men are bewildered about how to engage themselves for the last days of life. Here is a decision by authorities like the Pandavas. All of them engage themselves in favorably cultivating the devotional service of Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Swami Sridhar, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, or fruit of activities, philosophical speculations, and salvation, as conceived by several persons, are not the ultimate goal of life. They are more or less practiced by persons who have no information of the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is already indicated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 18:64, and the Pandavas were intelligent enough to follow it without hesitation. Sarvatam Anunir Jagmur Pratara Kikrita Nishaya Kalina Dharma Mitrena Rishta Sprishta Prajabhuvi. The younger brothers of Mara Judhisthira observed that the age of Kali had already arrived throughout the world, that the citizens of the kingdom were already affected by irreligious practice. Therefore, they decided to follow in the footsteps of their elder brother. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swamita Namane Namaste Sarasutam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarna. From the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Dharma Priyojita Kaitava Tra Paramo Nimastaranam Sita, that this Bhagavatam is going to negate the idea that Dharma is meant for economic development or sense gratification or even liberation. Generally, people take to the process of religious life. Religious life begins with regulating the senses. The senses want to lord it over the material nature to the maximum and enjoy it to the maximum. Therefore, it takes some intelligence even to regulate the senses. The animals are naturally regulated because they're under the laws of material nature. The human beings have a tendency to become unregulated unless they're under the directions of higher authority. But after regulating the senses and being regulated in one's habits of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, is not the highest consciousness. It just allows for some consciousness rather than simply animal consciousness. Then one must do something pious. Pious means to become aware that there are other people who have needs other than simply to serve one's own senses. Therefore, there are so many injunctions in the scriptures about giving in charity and performing sacrifice, etc. But ultimately, even these pious activities mentioned in the Vedic literature, they're more or less to help people eat, sleep, mate, and defend in a more comfortable way. Indeed, the Vanashram system is the best way if you want to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Modern civilization, which is promising unlimited happiness in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, has actually made it more complicated to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Previously, if people wanted to eat, they had their own garden. They'd go out and they'd pick a few leaves, a few vegetables, they had some grain and a little milk from the cow, and they could happily prepare nice, fresh food. But nowadays, people work hard at some job, and then they come home and either they go to a restaurant, and even the most expensive restaurants, like they have these steaks, but the steaks are frozen. It's not fresh. You're paying $100 for a steak. That may have been the poor animal was killed in, you know, some previous war sometime, and then frozen. And you're thinking you're eating something fresh, but actually you're eating some dead animal from some past epoch. And yet people are working so hard at their jobs in order to get the money so they can buy this dead animal. Animals are dying everywhere, but somehow or another they have to pay a special price for this dead one. Actually, they go there because there's nice music, there's nice tablecloth, nice atmosphere, and they hope this way they're going to actually feel like they're actually the enjoyer and the controller. But actually, modern civilization has made it practically, well, very difficult to find anything that's would be considered previously as food. And what to speak of the anxiety people go through, they can't even sleep at night. And if they can sleep at night, then sometimes they can't wake up. And even mating has become more or less, people are just, their relationships are, there's no hardly any affection, there's hardly any lasting relationships. It's just some brief moments of something called sense gratification, and then people are very disturbed, always disturbed. Therefore, if people are married for more than a few years, people think it's rather unusual. Why are these people still together? There must be something wrong with them. And as far as defending, no one feels themselves protected. Everyone feels that someone's out to get them. And indeed, everyone is out to get them. You're just not supposed to say it, that's all. Everyone is the government is picking one's pocket, but they don't even have to pick the pocket. You have some money in the pocket, they don't have to take it out, they just have to print up more money. Or just hit a couple of buttons and your money is useless. And as Prabhupada said, there's legitimate pickpockets. You go home at night and the wife and children, they steal everything. And you think, oh, they love me. If someone on the street comes along with a gun, holds it to you and asks you for everything, you become very disturbed. Why are you stealing from me? But if the wife and children steal everything, oh, that's very nice. So defending, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, no one is able to do these things in such a way as to get any peace. There's no question of happiness, Krishna says, unless there is peace. But no one knows, and Tevidu, Swarthikatim, He Vishnu, they don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna. Dharashaya, Ye bhagya arthamanina. And therefore they're interested in only things that are very insignificant. Dharma is supposed to teach us what is real and what is not real. and the beginning of Dharma is just to regulate the senses, then to do something in the realm called piety, charity, sacrifice, austerity. But that also doesn't bring one to the goal of life, because as we can see in the case of King Nariga, he gave away more cows in charity than there are grains of sand on the beach, that there are stars in the sky. And they were cows that just had their first calf and they were full of milk. They had golden horns and silver hooves. Or silver hooves and golden horns, I can't remember. Silken wrappers. And they were given to first class Brahmins. He dug wells for the so people on pilgrimage, they could take the water. He gave charity and food. He did so many pious activities and he became a lizard in his next life. So therefore, by good fortune, we might become a lizard. Because he just committed one little mistake. So how many cows have we given in charity to first class Brahmins lately? How many wells have we dug? How many places of food have we set up for the pilgrims? How many pilgrims are there to take the food? Therefore, even pious activities has its difficulty. Because a little sinful activities, one may wind up, or at least for some time, in great difficulty. But the aim of pious activities is to learn how to see things beyond one's material concept of life, how to expand one's vision, and eventually how to tolerate the inevitable reactions of the material energy. We have a material body, we have our karma, we're going to experience at least old age, disease, and death. No one could avoid that. We can't say, because I'm a devotee, therefore I'm going to live in this body forever, because I don't want to die, and Krishna fulfills all my desires. No, everyone has to go through old age, disease, and death. Even Brahma, the topmost personality in this universe, has to go through that. But one has to learn how to tolerate. But just to tolerate is good. That's called tapasya. Tapasya brahmacharyena. And unless we learn tapasya, we can't follow the regular principles. Unless we learn tolerance, then as soon as the urges are from the senses, and immediately we want to follow them. Brahma, when he saw Bhrigu, he became very angry because Bhrigu didn't pay him any respects, and he was going to curse Bhrigu, but his great intelligence at least checked his anger. So we have to learn how to develop our intelligence enough to check kama krodi vimuktanam yatinam yatichetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate vidikatmanam, that those who free from all desires, kama krodi vimuktanam, those who are striving for liberation, who are free from desire and anger, they're liberated in this world. Shaknoti haiva ye hi samsparsha bhoga dukha yona yevate adyanta vanta kunteya nateshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which is due to the contact with the senses, with their objects. Oh, son of Kunti, a wise man doesn't delight in them. Oh, son of Kunti, an intelligent person does not take part in the source of misery, which is due to contact with the material senses, with their object. Oh, son of Kunti, a wise person doesn't delight in them. Shaknoti aiva yakshodum prakshayira vimokshanat kama krodo vadam vedam vimukta sasuki unara. One who can tolerate the urges of the senses and the mind and check the force of desire and anger, he's a yogi and he can be happy in this world. Therefore, we have to learn this control, sense and mind control. What is sense and mind control? It doesn't mean we grab our senses and mind. We grab our desires and shake them a few. We can try and do that mentally speaking, but it's not, we have no control in that sense, but we have control over our desires. We have control whether or not we become attached to the ideas that arise within our mind, and whether or not when we do become attached, whether we give them up. That much control we have. Where we're focusing our attention and who we're, what we're giving our love to. If we don't, generally speaking, people who are trying to check the force of desire and anger, they have a very difficult time, because when it arises, they reject it. Neti, neti, neti. Yat pada pankaja pala, yat pada pankaja pala nivalasas. Yat pada pankaja pala sadilasya bhaktya kama shaya grahitam ugratayanti shanta tavan nirittam atiyo yatayo piruda. Shuto ganas tamarunam vaja vasudevam. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya. So the lotus feet of Krishna, vilasa, they're the source of all kinds of pleasure and enjoyment. Yat pada pankaja. Pankaja means mud, actually. What's that? Well, panka means pankaja, that which is born in the mud, which is a lotus. Lotuses are born in the mud, but they rise out of the mud and they become a very beautiful flower. Therefore, the ja means to be born. And panka means mud. So that which is born in the mud is the lotus. Yet pada pankaja vilasya palasa. Palasa means the toes. Palasa means petal, actually. So the petal-like lotus toes of Krishna, vilasa, are the source of all kinds of enjoyment. In other words, devotional service to Krishna brings one all kinds of pleasure. Yat pada pankaja vilasa palasa bhaktya, the idea of service to Krishna. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya kamashrayam grahitam ugratayanti shanta. And by such service, this desire to enjoy the material nature and to control it is slashed to pieces. It just is evaporated. But on the other hand, yat pada pankaja vilasa vilasya bhaktya kamashrayam grahitam ugratayanti shanta tavan narikta. Arikta means great sages and ascetics. Tanara rikta, yatiyo piruda. Piruda means they really try very hard to control their senses. Shutoganas, but there's waves, vasanas, waves of desire. Shutoganas tamaruda. They just overcome one and cause one to become a victim because it's so subtle. One becomes attached to some little desire, and suddenly it grows and overwhelms one. Vishvamrita Muni was sitting there in meditation for 60,000 years trying to become a Brahmin. We can't sit for 60 minutes. If the qualification would be to become a Brahmin, we have to sit in 60 minutes with our minds in meditation. We'd have only first initiated devotees in the movement. Try 60 seconds. Just having a clear mind. But he was there for 60,000 years. Indra became worried because Indra became the king of heaven by austerity. So here's a sage, 60,000 years, Indra couldn't even imagine doing that. He sent his agent to bewilder him, Menaka. And here he was, 60,000 years, Vishvamrita Muni, sitting in meditation, and he heard some ankle bells. And he thought, well, it's probably not nothing, but, you know, I'm not going to do anything. But let me just see what I'm missing out on. And then I'll go back to meditation. So he opened his eyes and said, oh, this is too good to pass up. And then the rest was history. 100 years later, after one child, Sukuntala, very beautiful child, then he thought, I was sitting in meditation for 60,000 years, and this is what I get in return? It wasn't worth it. He decided to go back to meditation again. So another 60,000 years rolled by. Andrew became worried again. So he sent another officer. This time she was a little reluctant. She realized the sage, would, just by hearing ankle bells, would probably not call for it twice. But anyhow, Indra shoved her out of the heavenly kingdom, and she had no choice. She went there. Vishwamrita heard the ankle bells. He remembered he had lost 60,000 years previously just by opening his eyes. He became so angry that he opened his eyes, and from his eyes shot out fire and burnt the apsara to ashes. Rather risky business being an apsara sometimes. This time he fell down due to anger. Another 60,000 years rolled by, and he was in meditation again. And he said, I give up. He's not going to fall for it three times. So finally, Brahma came and gave him second initiation. 180,000 years to get second initiation. His kind is much more merciful. But he was actually a real Brahmin, though. After 180,000 years of meditation, he had a pretty fixed mind. But we can see that it's not so easy. Shuto ganas tamarunam bhaja vasudeva. Who has 180,000 years to spend trying to become fixed in meditation upon this Brahman? We don't have 180 days to spend like that. Therefore, it is advised that one, if he takes the process of Krishna consciousness, instead of just trying to become tolerant, and of course, every part of the process of yoga is applicable to the Krishna consciousness movement also. We can't meditate and trance upon Krishna unless we go through the process. And the process means we actually have to give up. We have to regulate our senses. Ideally, we should be like Dhruva Maharaj. That's the ideal. On one leg, without breathing, without eating, just meditating upon Krishna. Because eventually, at the time of death, we have to be in such an, you know, be able to tolerate so much disturbance. If we're burning at the time of death, the temperature goes all the way up. And it doesn't matter, even when we turn on the air conditioner, it's not going to leave the temperature internally, going all the way up, and then it goes all the way down immediately. We can't put on the heater. I think I'm about to die. Can you turn on the air conditioner? No, wait a second. Turn on the heater. It got really cold all of a sudden. So we have to be in such a state of mind we can tolerate these things. Guru Maharaj closed all the doors of his senses, stopped breathing. He wasn't eating. He wasn't drinking. He was simply meditating upon Krishna. But we can't do that. If we do that, we'd be very unhappy. First of all, we couldn't do it, and even if we try to do it, we get very disturbed very quickly. If that was the process, no one would be here. Therefore, although that's the background, but the way we achieve that background, the way we can test how advanced we are, is that if we're chanting Hare Krishna, if we're absorbed in devotional service, then naturally some kind of detachment should be there. Just like the devotees, other people, they hanker to go to McDonald's. But because the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, performing devotional service, when devotees leave the Hare Krishna movement, it's not because they wanted to go to McDonald's. They just couldn't stop themselves from Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's. No, because one gets at least that much higher taste, even at the beginning. Then, to perform pious activities, our pious activity is a little different from most people's idea of pious activity, to go out and feed the poor, to help the hungry and the lame, the blind and the sick. That's also pious, to give in charity like that. But our greatest charitable gift is to give people knowledge. If in the cause of helping people give them knowledge, we also may perform other things like giving them prasad, not ordinary food, but food offered to Krishna, to give them the holy name, to give them transcendental literature, to give them knowledge of their real self, so that we save their real self, not simply take care of their hat and coat and their dress. So that's the highest welfare work. Of course, it's very subtle, and people may not appreciate it, and we may not understand it. We may think, well, people want something to eat. They want, you know, some psychological help. Their minds are disturbed. Yes, their minds are disturbed because they're hankering and lamenting. And as long as they're not Krishna conscious, hankering and lamenting will never end. So, but if they become Krishna conscious, then they won't. Then they'll be happy. They'll be satisfied. One time, one man was saying, "My mind, to Prabhupada, my mind." So Prabhupada said that all I can give you is the holy name. It's all I can give you. So people may ask for something, but we should give them something which will actually help them, rather than simply what they're asking for. Sometimes, if they want food, there's plenty of places to get food. If they want psychological health, there's plenty of psychologists who are just as crazy as they are. But if they want the solution to all their problems, the actual solution, that's what we're offering. But often people aren't interested in that. They don't want the solution to their real problem. They want a solution to some temporary problem, so they can go on with their business of trying to lord it over and enjoy material nature. But in the background, we have our pious activities, what we're giving to people. Most pious, Krita Punja Punja, that this devotional service is most helpful to people. It is actually the most beneficial. It is the greatest welfare activity. Hita, hita. Krishna Kirtana Gananatana Paro Premamrita Bhunidhi. Dira 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 Dira. How's it go? Krinatriyo Priyakaro Bhubivo Sri Chaitanya Kripa Paro. Anyhow, the six Goswamis were performing the greatest welfare work by this dancing and chanting, because they were liberating people out of the material world. Then we also have to learn tolerance, because there's so many allurements. Yogas, chalati, manasa. As soon as one tries to make advancement on the path of devotional service, then the mind will try to lure one by so many different allurements. One has to learn tolerance. One has to remain fixed in taking shelter of Krishna. If we get the higher taste eventually, then there is no problem taking shelter of Krishna, because what we're looking for is pleasure. But in the meantime, performing sadhana bhakti, there's not always transcendental pleasure. Sometimes there's allurement, and the only way of getting free from that allurement is to take shelter of Krishna. So that requires intelligence. So So devotional service is the development of spiritual intelligence. Not only, you know, when we feel good, then we serve Krishna, and when things go bad, then we serve Maya, because Krishna didn't help us. Not to learn, have enough intelligence. Even in the face of allurement, one still takes shelter of Krishna. Then one can actually take to the process of devotional service. In the neophyte stage, when we're sometimes irregular in our habits, sometimes we're not so favorable in our disposition to others, sometimes when we're not so tolerant, we succumb to the allurements of material sense gratification, speculation, then the result is that we may imagine ourselves to be performing pure devotional service. We may be performing devotional service, but it's not on the highest level, nor is it really advancing towards the highest level, because we're still on these lower stages of devotional service. But if one can practice, actually accept the idea of devotion, I'm doing this to please Krishna, with real feelings towards Krishna, then the result is that one can actually be in the mood of devotion. Then, in the mood of devotion, we can actually hear about Krishna and understand what this is all about, what we're doing here. It's not just a convenient way to get out of misery or to find a better spiritual existence. It's actually taking us to a different platform of existence. So if we accept devotional service, we can rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is, we can actually feel Krishna's presence and understand what he's at, the level of experience, the level of devotion and activities, what's actually going on in the spiritual realm of existence. The feelings of love that are being exchanged between Krishna and his devotees. Then, when one is completely absorbed in such a experience, then one will meditate and trance upon Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, associates. That's all one thinks about. And it's not just internally, this is also going on externally. This whole material universe is just a pastime of Krishna. I was seeing some headline, I didn't read the article though, it said that scientists have discovered that this whole universe is just a simulation. I probably should have looked at the article. Yes, the whole material universe is a simulation. It's all going on by the will of Krishna. It's all Krishna's pastime. Either Maya chastising the forgetful souls, bhakti yogena manasi, samyak pranihita male, apaisha purusham purnam. Aisha Purusham Purnam Maya Chaitara Pashraya. That Srila Vyasadeva sat in meditation because his spiritual master Nari Muni told him to try to understand something about Krishna. You neglected Krishna, you haven't sufficiently glorified him. Now sit in meditation, try to understand who Krishna is. So Bhakti Yogena Manasi, so by bhakti, with a spirit of devotion, he sat there trying to think about Krishna. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranita male. And without any other desire, he simply meditated. Apaisha purusham purna. And then he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead and on his backside, Maya chattada pashya. He saw Maya taking shelter of Krishna. Then Maya rests on Krishna. So this whole universe rests upon Krishna, including the illusory energy. So either we can see the souls being directed by Krishna's maidservant, Maya, or we see the souls being directed by Krishna's maidservant, Srimati Radharani, in the form of devotional service. In any case, everyone is serving Krishna, either directly or indirectly. So it's all one wonderful, glorious pastime of Krishna. But better, we can only see it when we're on the side of Srimati Radharani. Otherwise, we think it's something else. It's either a glorious pastime or a horrible nightmare. We can choose which one we want. In any case, then, we have to more or less follow the process of taking shelter of Krishna, as given to us by our acharyas, that process. And if we take to it, then naturally the other steps will follow that we hear about these great yogis and ascetics. And we can actually surpass them, not by our own prowess, because what prowess do we have? We can surpass them by realizing we have no prowess. Our only shelter is Krishna and his representatives. If we understand that we're insignificant, helpless, and dependent, then we apparently will become very powerful because we won't interfere with the powerful, with Krishna and his eternal servants. So our glory is not to do something wonderful, but allow the wonderful to do something wonderful and not interfere with it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it's the, if you want to find the reference, it's in the 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which I'll look up right now. Yat para pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya kama shrayam grahitam ukratayanti shanta. It's in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
Time out for a shastra break. 008. Srimad Bhagavad. 422.30. Sorry to take your time like this. 422 index. The four Kumaras. It's the four Kumaras speaking to Prithamara. Anything else? Yes. But the first qualification is to get free from what's causing us stress. We can't be joyful if we're doing the things that cause distress. So we have to get free from those. The major thing that causes distress is our attachment to controlling and enjoying. So as we give up our attachment to be the controller and enjoyer, then we can do devotional service joyfully. If you want to, that whole bridegroom party was rowing, the oar men were rowing and rowing and rowing, but they weren't getting anywhere because they didn't bring up the anchor. So the anchor is our material attachment. Instead, we should think what Krishna wants us to do. And when we understand what Krishna wants us to do and we do it to please Krishna, then we can become free from our desire to control and enjoy. And then we can do our activities joyfully. So we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do and do it for Him, to please Him, without material attachment. Then we'll do it joyfully. Anything else? Yes.
The margin quotes from Prabhupada in the first Bhagavad Gita,
1864. Sarva Bhuyatama Bhuya, Shinu Me Paramama Vachaha, Ishtosti Te Dridamiti, because you're my very dear devotee, I'm going to tell you all this confidential knowledge. Now hear from me. So whether It's actually 1866, I think Prabhupada is referring to.
Easy.
Yeah. Because it says the ultimate goal of life. It's either 1865, well, 1866, because Sarva Dharma Parijaya.
My question was when we're leaving this body, and it was such a difficult situation, is practically speaking, hearing, well, obviously the process of devotion, so is there any shelter at that point?
No, at that point we better remember.
Huh.
Because according to what we're remembering, that's where we attain. Yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam yajanti antikalevaram tam tema yivaiti kondiya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. We're still, you know, just trying to hear at that time. Then of course we should try to hear about Krishna. But we can't expect to go back to Godhead unless we're expert, not only hearing, but and also we were serving, and therefore we're deeply absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, "Vihaya kamanyat sarvam, puman sarati nisbriha, nirmamo nirahankara sishanti madhigachiti." One who lives free from desire, gives up all desire for sense gratification, and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. That is a way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is never bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So we have to be so expert that there's no more, we're not attached to any more material desire. We're completely free from any kind of material circumstance. We have no sense of proprietorship when we're devoid of false ego. Then we can enter into the kingdom of God at that time. Not so easy. Therefore, practice. That's what we're here for, to practice, to do that. But don't worry, we're eternal. Now we're so worried, oh, my poor body's going to die, what's going to happen to me, I won't have any shelter. But we've gone through so many bodies, billions and trillions of bodies. We've been here since time immemorial.
Very reassuring.
What's that?
Very reassuring. Thank you very much.
No, of course we like to hear that, you know, we're going to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada used to say that because we're very impatient. And therefore, unless we're assured, doesn't matter what I do, I still get the bonus at the end. No, we have to become serious also. We have to make progress. Otherwise, if it was so easy, then why isn't everyone back to Godhead? Therefore, it's not so reassuring, but it's real. And we have to become serious, otherwise, because we're going to get what we deserve. Everyone gets what they deserve. Krishna is equal to everyone. He may give us some special mercy at the time of death, but he's not going to take us back to the spiritual kingdom unless we actually want to go there. And we can't want to go there unless we're deeply experiencing what Krishna consciousness really is. Yes? Yes, it takes weeks. Anyone who's here now has probably practiced for many lifetimes. Even now, Rupa Goswami says that generally devotional service is a continuum over many lifetimes. But even if one is just starting to take up the process of devotional service, still, you know, that's also they get some mercy. But anyone who's serious about performing devotional service, it must be over many lifetimes. Because otherwise, why would we, you know, everyone else is trying to lord it over the material nature, make money and spend it for their sense gratification. So why are we here? Because we have some faith that Krishna is God and that I should be going back to the spiritual world rather than just out there endlessly trying to enjoy. And yes?
Well, Acharya, you said if we want to be happy, we have to give up what causes the distress. Now, when we preach, when people are confused, so if we tell them this causes the distress, they may think, no, this is not what causes the distress. So how do we help them to come to Krishna consciousness?
So give them some prasadam.
Should we just tell them to chant the mantra?
Yeah, we. How can people understand? They have no experience. We may have some, if we have some higher taste by chanting Hare Krishna, performing the activities, and then we feel a little relief from our desire for sense gratification, then we can understand. Other than that, they think the only reason why they're in distress is that they're not getting enough sense gratification. So we tell them something else, they'll think we're crazy, because that's all their experiences. So therefore we try to give them a higher taste in a way that's possible for them, namely through the chanting and through the prasadam, and a little philosophy about how nice, you know, you're not the body and Krishna is God. But to tell them, you know, immediately about they have to follow four of the principles. No, they can, I mean, they won't understand it, especially if they're not even vegetarians. They can't, how can they understand? They're deeply absorbed in the bodily concept of life. Anything else? Alright, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Devo.